And there are many other such names in the Bible, in the New Testament, that call people apostles. God calls a person and he sends them out in the body of Christ to give a special message or bring something in the body of Christ. So those are apostles. And the word messenger in the Bible often is the word apostolos. It means sent one. In our modern day, we have different ones that are called apostles. You know, when you know people think about apostle, they think you're an heretic because you're changing the scripture. No, hey, listen, you better read the scriptures and understand the Bible. And God will send people to different parts of the world to start different things, to do different things, you know. And, I thank God for his calling. We don't always know, but, specifically, you know, you could know generally the calling, but it takes you some time to actually seek God and pray, and the Spirit takes some seasons to pray and follow his direction. And everybody here should understand you're generally called to do something. And if you don't know, if you stay put in here, you'll soon discover that you're called to do something. Glory to God. Amen. And so he called his 12 apostles over here, and he ordained them. And they were encouraged, and they were specifically told to do certain things, and that is to preach the gospel. And we said that there's two parts to the call. In Romans chapter 1, verse 1 to 7, we read a number of scriptures there. And verse 1, Romans 1 and 1, very quickly, please. Paul, the Bible says in the King James, Romans 1 and 1, he says, Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. And Paul didn't start out as an apostle. If you read the New Testament, you'll find out that Paul was not an apostle right away. He wasn't elevated to the highest level of the ministry gifts in a second and moment in time. And so he was separated. The Bible says separated. So the word called, is very significant. And also the word separated. God calls you and then he separates you. That separation takes some time. And it's a process of time that God will do certain things. And what you start off with in the kingdom of God, you don't always end up to stay there forever. For instance, the Bible talks about a man there in the scriptures. You know, he was called Philip the Evangelist. He wasn't always an evangelist. He started out in the ministry of helps. In Acts chapter 6, he was called a ministry of helps. And so he did different things. He cleaned up the floors and cleaned tables and served people, served food and different things like that. But later on, the Bible says he was ordained. He was called, separated to be an apostle. And he worked miracles and signs and wonders and did many, many, wonderful things by the power of God. And so where you start off is not always the way you're going to end up. And so be encouraged this morning because, you might just be coming here once in a while. You might serve just once in a while. But if you keep coming back, one place I used to go, they always tell me, Roma, keep coming back. And then something happened to me. And I became, part of the group, and I did different things back in those days. I belonged to this group, and I used to clean ashtrays and clean the floor. I would just go early and do all that stuff and stack, chairs and put out chairs and clean the bathroom, and I would go early. And volunteered, actually, I started a group called Kids with Hope in Thunder Bay. When I was in my early 20s, I started a group called Kids with Hope, and I worked with young kids who had alcoholic parents, and I did that for 2 years. Every Sunday night, I would show up and be there early and go early, and I've seen kids come there who were helped by what we were doing. And so I just went out and served. And so when I got born again, I started visiting hospitals and telling people what I knew and prayed for the sick and lay hands on people. And at very early stage in my life, I was just born again in the summertime. Then, by midsummer, I'm laying hands on people, and they were getting filled with the Holy Spirit. I was just amazed that God could do that. Hallelujah. The power of God is real. And sometimes you don't know the power of God's on you. A young man the other day, he said to me, can you please pray for me? I'm going to travel to Sulacaut and going down the road there. Would you please pray for me? So I said, okay, let's go ahead and pray. So we joined hands together and the power of God hit him. He says, I would never, it was just so strange to me. The power of God was electricity all throughout my entire body. Now, I didn't know that. I didn't know that was happening to him. You know, I would have just liked to say, hey, listen, I'm going to pray for you. The power of God's going to come on you and electricity will hit you. No, you don't always know what's good, how God's going to use you, right? Yeah. And yet at night, I was praying for someone who had a very, very much in pain. And very often the Lord will use me if you have pain in your body. And I forgot about that. And so I went out and prayed. I prayed for someone who had terrible, terrible pain and needed to go to the hospital and suffering with great symptoms. And you could just see the symptoms. You could just not only hear but see the actual symptoms in the body. Laid hands on that person, and instantly, like as far as you could, as quick as you snap your finger, the power of God went in, and I didn't know. But I felt the power of God. I mean, I almost fell over myself. And the power of God instantly healed in a moment of time. So, you know, you don't always know that. And so because to keep us from being prideful, because anything we do of God, a prayer we do, is not of us. It's God's mercy. It's all God's grace. And so we just put ourselves in the position to be used by God and to pray. Hallelujah. Amen. I believe, you know, the power of God's here today. And he'll minister to you whatever your needs are. And so we praise God for his goodness. Amen. One of our ushers got to put a muzzle on this guy over here. I'm glad that we edit the program because, Ed, you're a funny man. You come here every week to heckle me, to keep me humble. We love you, Ed. We love you. Don't we love Ed? Yes. Amen. Doesn't he remind you of yourself when you first got saved? You know, I thank God, you know, we think, you know, hey, when we got saved, we're all perfect, no? Amen. I talk to my old pastor. He tells me how inconsistent I used to be. And I could not relate to it. I said, that you must be talking about somebody else. That could never be me. I'm always on time. I'm always working. I'm always ready to serve. But no, hey, listen, God can take anybody and use them. Praise God. Amen. This is wonderful. Isn't God wonderful? He grabs you. He grabs his 12 apostles. These guys, you know, he made them into apostles. They you know, they didn't have the education. They didn't come from backgrounds that, you know, anybody would call. But God knows you, and he'll call you. He'll put you to work. Amen? And so here, Paul, it says that Paul, a servant of Jesus Christ, called to be an apostle. So the word, we said the word called is Greek, comes from the Greek word kaleo, which means to call out or to summons or call towards. You know what? God will summons you. Like you go to court. The court of heaven summons Paul to serve him. Or else. I remember I was telling stories about years ago when the police would come to the house, he would summons you to come to court. Well, you know, the Bible says that in the 9th chapter of the book of Acts, that Paul was apprehended of God. You know, the police can apprehend you and take you. And so he fell off and had an encounter with God, and he got born again in a supernatural way. That's not normally the way people get born again, but Jesus Christ himself appeared to Paul and told him, I'm Jesus Christ. I'm the head of the church, and you, Paul, are going to serve me. He said, what do you want, Lord? He got born again and got filled with the Holy Spirit. And started right away, the Bible said he went to preach the gospel right away. And so the word separated, it says separated unto the gospel. The word separated from the Greek word aphario, which means to be separated by boundaries. So whenever God calls us, there's always, boundaries, you have parameters. You can't just do whatever you want to do if God calls you. Say, for instance, I gave myself an example. I'm called to be a pastor, but God didn't say, go start a church in Sachiko Lake. No, he called me to Thunder Bay or go to Vancouver because, you know, the weather could be nicer at times. No, God called me here. And God reminded me he called me here for a reason. You know, Acts chapter 17, verse 26 in the Amplified Bible, it says God specifically called you to a specific location. He knew a long, long time ago where he was going to bring you. And I told the Lord this morning, you know, Lord, you saw me before. I wanted to run away from Thunder Bay. When I came to Thunder Bay to start a church, nobody wanted me. I didn't want it myself even. And I was intimidated all the time. People always questioned me, and they always said, compared me to different things, you know, people who has been in the ministry for 50 years and 30 years, you're not like them. And so I always felt low, that I was not good enough. But God told me he called me for a reason, and that he would do his work in me. And so many times I wanted to quit. I didn't have the resources. People weren't coming. And he just stay with it. God says, just be faithful. And I just kept coming and coming, you know. And pretty soon, you know, we have a staff. We have people that is coming. We've got people across the nation that are helping us in the ministry. And so it takes time for things to happen. It's not going to be overnight. Glory to God. Not too long ago, I remember just praying in my office, praying. I said, God, send me somebody just like me and Anita who would serve you, who would do anything for you. And so the Lord sent us another couple. Hallelujah. And brought them in, and they're serving today in the ministry, just like us. Gave our lives to the ministry. You know, it's not always easy to serve God. So don't look for something easy. And the Lord reminded me something about what Brother Hagin said. He said in the hardest times in life where God called him, he learned the most. He grew spiritually the most leaps and bounds in the hardest times of life. And people could have kept the easy road. And I've learned so much from the things I've suffered. You know? We're not gonna have this Christian life and not suffer. 1 Peter 5 bears it out. You know, verse 8 and 9 talks about we're going to suffer some things. I'm not saying you're going to suffer sickness or disease, but you'll suffer shame, intimidation, and those kinds of things that the devil will try to throw you away, discouragement. And he'll try to shame you. And do different things, you know. That's what the devil does. He'll try to defame you, try to steal the word from you. You know, the Bible, I listened to Jesse Duplantis. I don't know if you guys ever listened to Jesse. I listened to him once in a while. He's a crazy preacher. He says, you know, the devil, he said, so many people quote this John 10:10, the thief comes not but for to. What? He said, a lot of times people quote that and say, the devil comes to kill, steal, and destroy. He said, but you know what? The devil comes to steal, first of all. If he can steal the word from you, he can kill you and destroy you. So you have to bind the devil and tell him, devil, you're not going to steal from me anymore in the name of Jesus. He tried to steal everything you got. And he's just waiting in the corner, waiting for a wrong move. He'll try to do whatever he could to discourage you from coming to church, discourage you from reading your Bible, to pray. How many of you ever been discouraged to pray? Let me see your hand. Yeah, there's a lot of us. And God's moving because you prayed. And he's doing something for somebody else because you prayed. And he's done something for you because you prayed. Hallelujah. Well, that's a good message for somebody. So God has called us, number one, and number two, he separated us. And we say, generally speaking, what is the call of God? The call of God is the plan of God for your life. The will of God for your life, the purpose of God for your life. And everybody, psychology tells us, or psychologists tell us, that everybody wants to have some significance, some purpose in life. We're all asking, what am I here for? Rich men in the world are asking, what are we here for? And so everybody wants purpose. And God is a designer. He made things together, and he made relationships together. And thank God for him orchestrating everything. So the call of God is the plan and the will and the purpose for your life. And everybody here, God has something for you. We saw different scriptures last time. You can go back to it, you know. So, you know, when God calls you for something, you don't just call yourself. God calls you to something. And it's up to you to find out what it is after you're born again. It's your job to find out, God, where do you want me to hook up? Who do you want me to hook up with? Because I'm not called alone, obviously, in the world. I'm called to do your work. I'm called with the people, to serve with you with people. So everybody here, you're called to attach yourself to the body of Christ somewhere and to join in. Hallelujah, amen? The Bible says they went to their own company. Acts chapter 4, 23. They went to their own company, their own companions. You know, I believe it's in that 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 2 or somewhere on there. It says that you're connected to like precious faith, people who have precious faith just like you. And I'm going to talk about the joining together in a moment. And so we're not self-appointed people. Paul said, I didn't choose myself. In fact, Jesus Christ, the Bible said, didn't even call himself. God the Father called him to serve as the great high priest of our lives. We thank God for that, right? I want to show you something over here. Let's go to Psalm chapter 139, verse 13 and 14. But, you know, let's go ahead and read the whole beginning of that chapter. I'm going to go out on my phone here and check my mail. No, I'm not going to check my mail. Psalm 139, and let's go ahead and read verse 1. I'm reading the New Living Translation because I read the King James several times, and it wasn't as smooth as the New Living. But we'll help you out if some words are left out. We'll help that out as well. But we want to give you the gist of what he's trying to say here. So hallelujah, amen? Glory to God. Did you find it? Psalm 139, verse 1. Okay, let's go ahead and read. Lord, you have examined my heart and know everything about me. How many people know that God knows everything about you? He knew exactly where you're going to be this morning. He knows exactly where to find you. If I'm preaching about healing and you want something else, God will make sure something will come out of me to touch you. If you put your faith out. You know when I sit down and know when I stand up. You know my thoughts even when I'm far away. Verse 3, you see me when I travel and when I rest at home. You know everything I do. That's amazing. That's amazing. God knows everybody in here. He knows everybody where you go, where you drive your car to. He knows when you go to Tim Hortons by yourself. Try to hide from your wife. He knows everything about you. You see me when I travel, he says, when I rest at home. Know everything I do. Verse 4, you know what I'm going to say even before I say it, Lord. You go before me and follow me. You place your hand, a blessing upon my head. Verse 6, such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too great for me to understand. I can never escape from your spirit. I can never get away from your presence. If I go to heaven, you are there. If I go down to the grave, you are there. If I ride the wings of the morning, if I dwell in the farthest oceans, even your hand will guide me. Your strength will support me. I could ask for the darkness to hide me and the light around me to become night. But even in darkness, I cannot hide from you. To you, the night shines as the brightest day. Darkness and light are the same to you. You made all the delicate inner parts of my body and knit me together in my mother's womb. You know, God knows everything about you. If you have something wrong with you, he knows how to fix you. Thank you, Lord, for making me so wonderful complex. You know, the Bible says he made all the intricate parts of you. He knows about you. He knows exactly where you should be, who you should be with, why you should be there, and what time you should be there. So he knows exactly. You know, that's why the perfect plan of God is important for you. You don't want to miss out blessings, and many people are going to miss out blessings because they were not in the right place at the right time. Thank you for making me so wonderful complex. Your workmanship is marvelous, and how well I know it. You watched me when I was being formed in utter seclusion. I was woven together in the dark of the womb. You saw me before I was born. Every day of my life was recorded in your book. Every moment was laid out before a single day had passed. This is such a wonderful word to understand. I mean, it just blows your mind to know that God knows everything about you. We're so finite, we're so limited in terms of what we know. We don't know anything that we should know. And thank God for his Holy Spirit who leads us and guides us. Thank God for his wisdom and how he imparts to us what we need to know. Thank God. You know, Galatians 1:1 says, Paul said, I'm an apostle, not of men, neither by men, but by Jesus Christ and the Father who raised him from the dead. He said, I didn't, you know, you could go to Bible school, you could go to the best Bible school in the world, that still don't make you give you a calling. You know, it's the Bible schools will prepare you for the calling, but doesn't make you a calling. They don't ordain you. They can ordain you legally, but that doesn't mean that God legally ordained you from heaven. It's God is the one that puts a stamp on you. And the Bible says that Jesus, the signs and wonders that happened in his life was an indication that God called him. I remember years ago, Brother Higgin talking about that. He says, you know, God shows himself strong, and one time he says, I want you to go to this meeting, and I want you to call out this person who is sick, and he's in a wheelchair. I want you to point at that person and say, be healed in the name of Jesus, get up. And that person was in there. He said, that'll be a sign to you and to the people that are there that I've called you. So the sign and wonder was a call to himself, but also to them. God will approve you. And the Bible says that if you look at it in the scriptures, that Jesus was approved by God by signs and wonders. And now Paul, in the first chapter, 1 Corinthians chapter 3, and verse 1 to 3, he says that it was because, you know, God demonstrated his power through him so that people might see that God was working in him and through him. And that's why they start to believe that God had called him. So it takes a while. And so you know, thank God he'll do that for you. He'll show you the way. He'll help you. And so he was called to the Gentiles. The Bible said he was called to the Gentiles. And Peter was called to the Jewish people to preach the gospel in the beginning. That God enables you. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 12 to 14 says God enables people. He empowers people to go and serve him. He graces people. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 7 says that God has made, he was made a minister, Paul was, according to the grace and the gift, the grace of God. It wasn't because he went to the school of the Pharisees. And he did. He had a PhD. But God didn't use that. God used what he gave him by the Spirit. And so we looked at last time, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3. If you look at that up here, Romans chapter 12, verse 3. I want to show you something that will help you this morning. And Romans 12, verse 3, let's read the King James first, and we'll clarify some things. Paul is talking to the church there at Rome, for I say through the grace given to me. Now, how many people understand that God gives you the grace to speak and to say things to people at a certain time? Sometimes you could miss an opportunity to say something. It's not like when you want to tell somebody off. That's not what I'm talking about. It's like when God speaks to you to give a word to somebody. And I remember Brother Higgin talking about that, and he missed those opportunities sometimes. And God says, it's going to be your fault if something happens. Why? Given to me and to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think. That it means, you know, think highly of yourself, but not too high. Be balanced. See yourself as wonderful. See yourself as being blessed. See yourself as being loved of God, but don't go overboard. You know? Okay, so God has a special call for us. Don't say, I'm the only one. If I don't do anything, this place will fall apart. Don't say that. Because obviously God can find somebody else to for you to fit in, and you just lose the blessing, right? And so if I go away tomorrow, somebody else will take my place. But we thank God for what God has called us to do. So we stand in, you know. So it says here, then he ought to think, but to think soberly, that we need to think sober. You know, like a drunk person doesn't think right about himself. And when you're a drunk person, you think, oh, man, I'm the best dancer. I can do anything. I can beat you up. I don't care if you're 350 pounds. I'm 5'2". I can beat you up. I can get away with it. I can race down the road and not run. I drive better drunk. See, a drunk person doesn't think right. Like, in a way, you know, they don't have that kind of clarity of thinking. So he says, think soberly. According to has God dealt to every man the measure of faith. I want you to place your attention on two words here. Number one, he says, grace given to me and to every man. So first of all, when God calls you, everybody here, when God calls you to serve him, he's going to grace you. In other words, he's going to empower you. He's going to gift you. So everybody here has a gifting and a grace that came from God. It's supernatural. We're all called to serve. You're not called to just serve yourself. And the gift that you have is to be used for the kingdom of God. Ask yourself, am I using my gift to bless his kingdom, to bless God? And you haven't. It's not too late. You can repent today. Amen? So he says that God has graced us and to every man is among you. And then he goes on, as according as God has dealt to every man, every person, the measure of faith. In other words, God will give you the power to believe and do what you're supposed to do. Hallelujah. And if still, you still don't want to serve God, I got something to say to you. Or at least God got something to say. No, listen to this. Let's go over here. Philippians chapter 2, 13. Let's go look at Philippians chapter 2, verse 13. Show you something here. It'll help you because sometimes we don't think we could do certain things, but God can help you. Or I don't have the wherewithal or the willingness to want to serve God. It says there, for it is God which worketh in you, both to will and to do of his good pleasure. God will give you the willingness to serve him. And he'll give you, not only the will, but the ability to serve. Let's go see the New Living Translation. In this verse, I want to show you. To will and to do. In other words, to do means the ability that God wants you to do. Have. For God is working in you, giving you the desire. Everybody said desire. See, he puts the desire in you. Everybody here has a desire to serve God. You say, well, I wish I could do this. I wish. No, there's no wishing involved. God, if God put it in you, you can do it. Huh? And he says and the power to do what pleases him. Say, I have the desire. Say, I have the power to do what God called me to do. So God will do that. Not only will he just call you, he just say, I'm going to call you, but you just make out on your own. No, he calls you. He also gives you the power to do it. I'm going to show you another scripture that really blessed me many, many years ago. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 10. And, your gifting, when God places a gift in you, you could use it a variety of ways, not just one way. Right? So God has given each of you, that's all of us, a gift. You say, what gift? Let me just tell you a story. Everybody say, gift. Yeah. I noticed the anointing is thicker in here now than it was earlier. Because some of you are going like this. Starting to smile a little bit on one side of your face. But he's going to lift you up. I want to show you something. Look at this. God has given each of you a gift. Now, okay, so listen to me. I was at the University of Winnipeg. I was my intention was to finish my degree, my doctoral degree, and go to down eastern Ontario to finish this off because I was just had something to do here. I was just at the end of it, and I was out there making applications and going to Sir Wilfrid Laurier University, and so I was happy about it. I'm just happy as can be. I'm in the pinnacle, and just want to I got the blessing of God on me. My wife and I are so happy. We have bank. We have money in our bank. We have a nice new car, and we're young, lovely, in love, right, honey? You still love me? I don't know. That look didn't look too good. Okay, I'll talk to you later. Anyway, so I think she might be afraid I might say something. Anyway, so I came out from school. I was on Thursday night. I came out from school. I was at a business course that I'm taking that night as part of my university training. And I was taking management. I was taking a course in policy development. And that was my, my last thing that I had to do. My specialty was policy. And so I'm finishing this course this evening. I got in the car, I'm driving, and it's a nice hot day. Open up the windows, you know, open up the sunroof, and just, I'm happy. Hallelujah. When God came in my car. And the Lord spoke to me. Now, I didn't hear an audible voice, but I heard a voice in my spirit. God spoke to me. He said to me, what are you going to do with the gift I've given you? And look at this. God has given you each a gift. I'm driving down the road towards Pimino Highway from the university. Right now, they have the football field there with the Winnipeg Blue Bombers. So I'm coming up the street, and the Lord said to me, in a moment of time, I saw myself in a moment of time. You know what the Bible says in the fourth chapter of the book of Luke and Matthew, and the devil came and tempted Jesus, and he saw in a moment of time, he saw. The devil showed him in a moment of time. So I'm driving in my car, and yet it was like a flash of my life in an instant of time, and I knew something that God had called me to do. He said, what are you going to do with the gift I've given you? And I said to the Lord, what gift? What gift? What gift is he talking about? So let me tell you something. A lot of you might not know your gifting, but it's there. The gift of God is there. It's in you right now. It's dormant, perhaps. And I want to tell you something. When you come to a church like this, that thing will come alive. It'll stir up in you. You might not even know it's there, but it's only when you get to people that you know something is there. You know, that's what happens. It says, that's why the Bible says iron sharpens iron. And you get around certain people, you start to feel like, you know, like them a little bit. You know, when he talks about the spirit of faith, when we talk about we're sharing the spirit of faith, the spirit of faith is that certain perspective, that certain attitude you get when you're around people. I can do all things through Christ. You know? And so you get an attitude. It's called the spirit of faith. So the spirit of faith is like, you know, you believe you can do things. And that's what the Lord told me. I mean, that's one thing the Lord gave us. And when the Lord sent me, I was praying one day and the Lord spoke to me. I'm in the back. I came home for lunch. I used to come home for lunch. And I told my wife, I'm going to just pray for a while you're getting ready there. And I went to pray. And the Spirit of God came upon me. You know, when it says the word of the Lord came upon him and said this, I heard the Lord. I'm praying there and minding my business. And the Lord spoke to me. He said, I want you to go to Rhema and I want you to go now. And I heard that three times. I knew I was not. I said, push that away, begin to pray again. The Lord says, you need to go. You need to go now. So I got to my wife, said, hey, you know, the Lord spoke to me. We got to go. She said, now? You know, and so we made preparations for it. But the Lord will lead you. And he'll guide you. And he'll prepare you. He'll enable you to do whatever it takes. Though I didn't have any money. We didn't know. It was May. I mean, school is coming pretty soon. I don't know. You're supposed to apply a certain time, right? God will get you there where he wants you to. And so go back to that story. What are you going to do with the gifting? And I saw someone in bed sick. And the Lord said, what are you going to do with the gift? How are you going to heal that person if you don't know how to heal that person? What you're going to do at that university going to do for this sick person over here? And I went home and I talked to my wife, said, you know what? The Lord spoke to me. So we had talked about it. We arranged it. We made a decision. We knew that God was calling me because God had prepared her before that. And so we came. It didn't look like any kind of special call. But we follow the witness on the inside of us that God has called. And some of us here in this room right now, you got to follow. There's a very, very small voice on the inside of you. It's your spirit speaking to you, your conscience talking to you, that you ought to do something. You know, when Luke wrote the letter, he said, you know, it seems like I had to write this letter. Some of you have a seems like that you ought to do certain things. Or it seems like that you ought to get away from certain things. Or it seems like you have to go somewhere. That's the Holy Spirit inside of you. It's so small, and if you disregard it, you'll miss it. But it'll come around again. So, you know, the Lord said to us, So when we went to he said, the same spirit I put on Brother Higginbotham put on you. And that's what is the spirit of faith. And I know there's another calling coming. It's going to come soon. And when that comes, you're going to all know it. Not only you, but everybody in the city is going to know it. And everybody across the country is going to know it. That there's something happening in the realm of the spirit that's going to grab attention. And we've been praying about it. So when we got to Winnipeg, I'm getting ready for my morning service. Excuse me, my class. And I'm ironing my shirt. And the Lord, I was talking to the Lord. I was so, you know, you can be called and still cry about it. So I'm doing my shirt. And I said, Lord, why'd you bring us over here? I didn't want to be here. I didn't want to come to Oklahoma. It stinks here. I mean, there's no water here. I mean, I was complaining to the Lord. And I don't like the kind of music they play here. I was complaining about the Lord. I said, why didn't you come? Why didn't you just let me go to the schools I wanted to go to? I'm glad I didn't go to those schools. Now I look back at it. And the Lord said to me, you know, I'm going to show you. So I went to class this morning. Brother Hagin was teaching. He pointed right at me, though I thought in my own spirit. He said to me, the Lord Jesus Christ appeared to me in September, I think, 2nd, 1950-something. I can't remember, 52, I think it was. He said, when the Lord said to me, kneel down, put your hands up, out like this, and he laid his right hand of his finger on both of my palms of my hand. He says, I've called you and I've ordained you and I've called you for a special time to give you a healing anointing to minister to the sick. And he said to me, he said to him, I called you, go and teach my people faith. Then he pointed, he says, when Jesus Christ called me, he called you to preach, to teach my people faith. And that time, I received a revelation that I was called to teach faith. And that's what we've been doing on television. And when the man of God came and pointed to me at a meeting and said to me, Roma, you're going to be on television very shortly. And the people are going to say, God needs a teacher and you're it. That's what he said to me. And he said, people are going to ask you and talk to you and stop you and ask you, I have seen you on television. I didn't know you were on television. And that happens on a weekly basis whenever I go somewhere, continually. Why? Because God did it. And God always reminds me of what the call is. A lot of times I don't want to do it. I don't want to preach. And just because you don't always have that desire doesn't mean that God didn't call you. It's down inside you. Everybody is called to do something for God. Everybody should hook up with people somewhere along the line, physically speaking, personally speaking, not just online. But, I mean, the body of Christ is due every day. I'm a member of Rhema Bible Church still. I'm a member. Pastor Hagin is my pastor. I don't see him personally, but he knows who I am sometimes. Because sometimes he tells me, yeah, I got a guy there in Thunder Bay. I said, that's me. Oh, that's you. Okay. He says, Tony Cook introduced me. Hey, you know, Pastor Romo here in Thunder Bay. Oh, yeah, okay. But he always wants to know what's happening here. And they tell him, Pastor Romo's doing a good job in Thunder Bay. Isn't Pastor Romo doing a good job by the Holy Ghost? Anyway, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you very much. But you see, God has called us, and he's ordained us, and he could, you know, God wants you to know that he's called you. Every one of us is important. Every one of us is very precious to God. And he's ordained it so that you can be a significant part of the body of Christ. And so I want you to go here in your Bible with me to, let's go, you know, I'm going to say that God calls you by his grace. You didn't have to work for it, but God did it. He didn't need you to do something, but he just already thought about it a long, long time ago. He told Timothy, before I created the world, he called us. And God thought about it a long, long time ago. I want you to notice something over here. Let's go to Romans chapter 11, verse 29. This is another message I'm going to give you. It's called various gifts and callings. It's on the anointing of God. So Romans 11:29, it says in here, for the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. Gifts. Everybody say gifts. Say calling. So in other words, whenever God calls you, he gifts you. And it says without repentance, and some version says that God never changes his mind. Once he puts a call on you, he never changes his mind. Now, you might change your mind. And you might say, I quit, it's too hard. I'm persecuted too much. I don't have any money. I don't have the resources. I'm quitting. I've been too discouraged, I'm quitting. No, God never takes the call back. Never. Once he calls you, it's there. You're marked for life. And if you ever were away from God and you come to a church like this, that gifting would come out again. You would know it. And you would actually want to run away from it. You come into a church like this, you say, I don't want to know about that. Let's praise the Lord here. Lord, don't talk to me about that. I don't want that. And that'd be silly to not want what God wants you to have. There's such blessing in it. So when God calls you, he'll anoint you or equip you. And he'll never change his mind. Never change his mind. You know, okay, so let me just say, I'm a pastor. I'm the lead pastor here. We have two other pastors, Pastor Ken and Pastor Steve and their wives. We count them as one. Like, he's not by himself. His wife is with him. He couldn't do what he's doing without his wife. I couldn't do what I'm doing without my wife. When God calls you, he not only calls you, but he calls your wife to be your assistant, to help you. So have a personal assistant. And anybody understands that if you're in business or whatever, you got to have a good partner. If she gave me trouble about stuff, I would hardly ever function. You need a good person to be with you. I read Proverbs 31. I was reading that the other night because I was reminded and read, you know, because they were talking about Johnny Depp. Anybody know Johnny Depp? I saw it came up on my feed. Now, he's having trouble with a woman. Or his woman is having trouble with him. And so did Will Smith. Yes, I said it, Will Smith. He slapped a guy, and the whole world saw that slap. And because he was saying something about his wife, now, don't slap because if I say something about him. Anyway, listen. And people were saying, it pays to have a good wife. It does pay to have a good wife. Hallelujah. To support you. My wife never said, no, we're not going to support. We're not going to do this. We're not giving any money. We're not going to tithe. We're not going to serve. You better cut down on your giving. You better cut down on your serving. You've been calling, too many people calling you. You better sit over here. I want to talk to you. You know, I mean, you got to have somebody who's understanding about the call in your life. It doesn't work 9 to 5. It works around the clock. Sometimes you're called to go somewhere your office didn't say you're supposed to be at. And you're called in the middle of the night and going somewhere. And so, what scripture we were at? 1 Corinthians, gifts and calling without repentance. No, God doesn't change his mind. And I said Proverbs 31 because someone needs to hear that. You need a good wife. Joe, where are you? Okay. No, Joe's not a servant. No, he's here. I'm just kidding. Joe, I want to pray for you. I know you're waiting. It's special. Praise God. Amen? I want to pause here for a second. I got to think about what I'm going to say next. Hallelujah. Yes, it's important. Praise God. I don't know. The Lord gave me a wife. I didn't say, I'm going to find a nice wife. No, the Lord, I went to school, and the Lord said, that's your wife over there. What? And that's the way the Lord did it. So I'm telling you, what my pastor taught me, sat me down, he said, Roma, listen, clean up your act. Live right. Don't go around running around and have sex with women. Keep your mind clean. Go to church. Serve as best as you can. Be the kind of man that when a woman sees you, you'll know exactly when. Why would God call you if you're running around having sex with other women, messing around and doing all these things? Why would God send you a good woman? It's a good message for somebody. So I lived a holy life because 1 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 9 says that God called it with a holy calling to live sanctified and holy before Him. Now listen, I made my mistake. Don't you think that And don't you look at me with that tone of voice. I know you too. Let me tell about your story right now. But nevertheless, God calls us. Right? He calls us. He knows who we are. He knows every detail about you. And, my pastor told me the same thing. Sat down with me. He said, this is the way you have to be, Roma. Listen, you only can have one. And make it good. And so I thank God. I married my wife, I thought she was mad, like a nun. In fact, all her friends, you know, she's 18 years old. I mean, she got saved, born again, you know, never did anything in her life. But she's a wonderful woman, I tell you that right now. Praise God. Amen. Never done me any harm, did you? No? Okay. But the Lord works wonderful. Right? He's marvelous. And I thank God, like, how could God treat me so good? I could not believe that God could treat me that good. I could not believe it. I could not accept it. Why would you send me such a beautiful woman in her prime? And why would, like, I look at my past, an ugly past and everything. Why would you send somebody like that to me? I can't believe it. And why did you call me and put an anointing on me? I don't deserve it. And that's exactly what 1 Timothy chapter 1 verse 9 says, we got the call not because we deserved it. We didn't have a merit. God didn't pick you because you're so wonderful. He picked you because of His own purpose and His own plan. That's what it says, 1 Timothy. And everybody here, you know, none of us can ever boast and say, oh, look at me, I'm so wonderful. No, God has called us, every one of us. And if you messed up, the gift and calling is still there. And I messed up. You know, I thought God forgot about me because the devil got on me for 2 years that I lost my salvation even. And God doesn't want me anymore. And I'm ugly. I'm unclean. And I'm a failure. And back and forth and on and on and on and on. Nobody wants you. You're a wreck. And I mean, that's going on in people's minds right now. And if you listen to that, you go crazy. So I walk into church one day. Pastor Kevin Ashby was teaching. Me and my wife, she wasn't my wife then, but we said, let's go to a church. We were going to university. That's where we met. We go to a church. We heard a new church is being established over there on Memorial Avenue at a hotel. Let's go and visit that church. And we were supposed to go as a group, and we happened to be together that night. I don't know, was there somebody else with us? Because I only saw you. I only have eyes for you. So anyway, we went into that church, and the scripture came out to the pastor. He says, the gifts and callings of God are without repentance, as I walked in the door. And that thing came into me. God says, I've called you. And it came right back to me in a moment of time. When I was just a boy, my mother always said, son. No, anyway. When I was a boy, I knew exactly God called me. I didn't know what. I knew there's something special that God had called me to do. It's wonderful to know what he's called you to do. Let's go over here. Glory to God. We got about 4 minutes left. The body of Christ is immensely a large organization in this world. There are different kinds of people. I can think of a song to sing right now. Can you think of a song? Different kinds of people. Huh? Young and old. Rich and poor. Northerners, Southerners. White people, black people. Funny people, sad people. There's all kinds of people in the world, right? But the Bible says many are called to work in the ministry, but not everybody is operating into where God wants them. He says, Matthew 22, 14, many are called, but few are chosen. It's up to us to accept the call of God wherever He places us. It's up to us to obey and receive the calling of God right now. We need to discern what the call is and where He wants us and what He wants us to do. It's our job to begin to seek God. Lord, what do you want me to do? That's what Paul said in Acts chapter 9. Lord, okay, what do you want me to do? That's a good question. He said, listen to me. Paul, you're going to suffer a lot of things and for my name's sake. I'm going to send you to kings. I'm going to send you to Gentiles. And you're going to suffer different things because of me, my name. How many people know that none of you is going to escape any kind of suffering? Hebrews says that when God calls us, we're going to suffer different things. You know, you might suffer, persecution. People can laugh at you, even your family. My family made fun of me because who's going to call you? You know, I remember in the city, a minister came up to me and said, you know, God wouldn't call you. And people disdained me. I had a rich woman one time. She came, and nice, businesswoman in the city. Her husband makes a lot of money. And she actually disdained me, looking at me, and said some things about me. And, the devil makes sure he'll send you somebody to discourage you. So don't take offense. Just move on. And go to the people who accept you. That's why I went to AA. That's why I went back to AA years ago, and they accept me. Oh, come on, Roma, sit down. And let me take you for lunch. Take me for lunch. No one would ever take me for lunch. That's the first time anybody took me for lunch was I went to AA and they accepted me and they loved me. And they said, Roma, we love you. Come, keep coming back. I kept coming back, like they said, because they had coffee and sandwiches. And when you have birthday meetings, you go, they have once a month, they have donuts. I knew where to go. LPH went there for meal. So God places us in the right place. Notice the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 12 and 18, he says, but our bodies have many parts, or the body of Christ has many parts, and God has put each part where he wants it. You can't just park yourself anywhere you want. You got to go where God wants you to go, right? You say, I like it over here. Well, no, wherever God wants you, that's where you go. We've had people in this city that don't even come to church here. They say, Faith TD Church is my church. But they never come here. They don't come here. I was at the mall one time, and a guy comes up and talks to me. I'm walking down the mall. And we talked for a little while, and he said, I'm doing this, doing that, and God's blessing me, and blah, blah, blah. I said, hey, so where do you go to church? He said, I go to Faith City Church. Where's your church at? Faith City. I said, oh, yeah. I didn't want to embarrass him. I just said, okay, yeah, okay, sure, praise God. I could have said, I never saw you. You're a liar. No, I wouldn't say that. But I wanted to be encouraging. Yeah? Like, he might come. He might be here today. Amen? And so you don't do stuff like that. You just want to make sure that everybody's going to be okay. But I want to just close with this. And give me a couple of more minutes. I want to show you something, and then we'll close this about what we call, let me just see here. Hallelujah. Go back to the call of God. Yes. Okay. God has, there are certain things in your life that will indicate, what God wants you to do. Let's go read Romans 12, 1 to 3. It says, I beseech you, therefore, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, wholly acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So we see from here that God wants us to be in the perfect will of God. And it's done through the renewing of the mind. And each day I pray for you in Colossians that God would open up to you an understanding so you know exactly what you need to do. I'm believing that it's happening. Then he says in verse 3 that God has given us grace and mercy and faith, or grace and faith, to do what he's called you to do. Then we move on down to verse 4 and to verse 8. Let's go ahead and read that. So we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. Everybody say office. That word here is function. We don't all function the same. Verse 5, so we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members of one another. Verse 6, having then gifts differing. In other words, we all have a gift, and it's all different from one another. Notice this, again, according to the grace. Ephesians 4:7 says that God has given us grace. That's God's blessing, God's gifting in your life. Giving us grace, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on ministering, or he that teacheth on teaching. Or he that exhorts with exhortation, he that giveth, let him do it with simplicity. He that ruleth with diligence, and he that shows mercy with mercy, or with cheerfulness. Romans 12:48. Now, we could go to these and talk about individual one of them. And if you look at the Amplified Bible, you're going to see more. You know, it just kind of multiplies the meaning of it and shows you really clearly about where you could put yourself in, at least relate to. Now, these gifts generally are called motivational gifts, functioning gifts in the body of Christ. Now, these gifts, as outlined, it's not exhaustive, but it's some of the gifts that God has shown us where we can be. That's not the only one. Like, say, for instance, they showed five ministry gifts, Ephesians 4 and 11, they're ministry gifts. You know, apostle, prophet, pastor, teacher, evangelist. That's four offices. But there's more gifts than that. There's healing offices. There's different ones that God called. But these are the main ones who would teach the body. Romans 12, or at least Ephesians 4 talks about Ephesians 4:11 talks about the spiritual gifts, but Romans chapter 12 over here is the motivational gifts. 4-8, what we call motivational. Now, what makes you tick? You know, you can take somebody. You know, we understand this. We do in our leadership courses. We do what we call testing to see where you are at, and so you discover, okay, I'm good with this. I like doing that. So we do that in our leadership development, so that we can help you get into an area where you can be feel more comfortable. Like, for instance, you know, so there's some people, they don't want to work with people. They like to work in the background where there's nobody by themselves. They'll work. They'll be there for 100 years. Just having a great time. It's like, you know, we were talking to a counselor, and we work at the college, and he said, I got two kids. One is like, one is like, you know, falls asleep. So one is like, just people. Just like want to be with people all the time. Another one just loves to be alone. So when they get into trouble, I send the one who loves to be alone, go up to your room, and you better stay there for 20 hours. And that's not a punishment for that person. They love being alone. All their stuff is in their TV, games, whatever. They're having a great time. You go in there, they're partying up in there. So that's different motivation. Now you take the kid who wants to be with everybody, put them in there. That's 5 minutes, then they'll be crawling the walls. In the church, it's the same thing. We don't put people up there who don't like to, you know, shake hands. We want somebody who is actually pleasant anyway, right? You wouldn't bring the quietest guy that's had a hard time speaking, put him up, go up there and exhort the people, give a prophecy. They'd faint, fall over, right? Some people, I noticed that, you could be misunderstood in the body of Christ because you don't understand how they function, how they tick. So everybody, no matter who you are, you have a place in the kingdom of God. And I'm cutting this short today because it's time to go. Let's go ahead and stand. We're gonna close. Hallelujah. Say, I have a place. I have a function. I have an unction. I'm going to find out more about it. Hallelujah. Father, we want to thank you. Thank you for your anointing. We thank you for your power. Thank you for the great, glorious, redemptive work of Jesus on the cross. We thank you for his calling upon our lives. We thank you for that anointing, that rich blessing of God that you place in our lives. We bless every single man, woman, and child in this auditorium and those that are watching online. We thank you for those people right now that you have gloriously called them. You said in your word that you anoint us. And no matter who we are and how bad we thought we were and how bad maybe someone thinks we are, that you have a special place for us. And so, Father, we just sanctify ourselves and we set ourselves apart to say, Father, we come to you in the name of Jesus. We give ourselves to you again and to freshly make a devotion to you. We say, Lord, here I am. Do with me as you will. Help me to function in the place that you've called me in. And I want to be in that happy place. I want to be in that healing, that place of healing. I want to be the place of success. And I want to prosper. I want to have the joy of the Lord again in my life. And I want to thank you for every single man, woman, and child in this room that would say, God, I'm coming to you. I'm giving you my life. Use me. With every eye closed, every head bowed, I want to ask someone in this room right now, Father, there's somebody here that say, Father, I have not been diligent to follow you the way I should. And this morning is a significant morning. This morning is a mark of distinction in my life that I'm giving you my whole life, not just to be saved, but to give you all my giftings, to learn and to sit at your feet and to follow your plan exactly the way you called me. Yeah, I might not like wanted to do it, but I'm willing to do it. And you're going to empower me to give me the willingness to serve you. With every eye closed, every bowed, I want to ask you right now, friend, body of Christ, people, child of God, are you in a place where God wants you to be in life to serve him? Will you give your talents, your gifts to God to serve in the ministry, to serve his church, to serve his kingdom? In the name of Jesus.